Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And good Sunday morning to you. We know there's weather to talk about, but there's also your health to talk about. Good morning to you, Dr. Hilden. You made it in okay.
Good morning, Denny. I did. It's beautiful outside.
Did you have snow tires?
I have snow tires on the Mini Cooper, but it was a little, it was like driving through a cloud
a little bit.
Because everybody else is, well, there's not a lot of traffic at this time, but the other cars kind of
raising clouds of snow. That's true. What are we going to be doing today?
We're going to talk about your heart today. It is February. How's that for stating the obvious? But it is February is also National Heart Month. And so we are going to today, especially, we're going to focus on your heart. Fortunately, I have Dr. David Fine in the studio. He's a repeat guest. He was on the show, I don't know, a few years ago. He is a cardiologist. Dr. Fine, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Good to see you here, David. So we're going to talk a little bit about Heart Month. Did you wear red last Friday?
Yes, I did.
So here's the thing. Nationally, not just here, it's National Wear Red Day last Friday to call attention to heart disease in general, or is it more women's heart?
Well, it used to be just women's heart, but more recently they've been expanding it to everybody's heart disease.
Yeah, so at the hospital, so many people were wearing red, and I had it on my calendar. You know, I have a calendar, so here's today's events. Wear red today, wear red today. I got to work, I looked at myself, and I go, I don't have one red thing on today. I was a failure in the wear red to work.
So they find something for you?
No, everybody else has, you know, all kinds of things. You know, they even if it was just your tie or your socks or something, I choked. I didn't do it. Anyway, for all of those of you who wore red last Friday, way to go. It literally is to call attention to what is still probably the largest health concern in our country, and that's heart disease.
That's right.
So let me tell our listeners a little bit about you, Dr. Fine. So he's a cardiologist at Hennepin Healthcare, practices both at our downtown offices as well as our Golden Valley Clinic, which is out there on Duluth Street and Highway 100.
Right.
Yeah, that's a great clinic out there. So you can see him at either of those locations. And you also direct the cardiac rehab program. What is cardiac rehab?
Cardiac rehab is where we take patients who have been diagnosed having heart disease in one way or another, and we get them into as normal a life expectancy and a life quality that we can possibly do for them.
Is this something that, you know, I think a lot of people aren't really kind of aware of what it is. So before I get into that, we're going to talk quite a bit about cardiac rehab and who ought to be enrolling themselves in such a program. Just a little bit more about you. Here's one. You do full service cardiology care, right?
Well, I used to do once upon a time. I've gravitated out of a lot of the procedural aspect of cardiology.
You're not the guy putting stents in any longer?
Not anymore.
But you used to do that work.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But he does see patients at those two locations. Here's a little bit about your history that I didn't know, and I'll try not to hold it against you, but apparently you grew up in South Minneapolis.
Yeah, I did.
You went to Southwest High School, which is where my two kids went.
And my two daughters.
And your daughters went there. So we have a lot of connection with the Southwest High School. But the problem is I went to Washburn a couple miles up the road, and we didn't like you guys.
Yeah, well, we won't hold that against you today.
So he is a Minnesota. You're originally from Minnesota?
Yep.
All right. So that makes two of us. But listeners will be glad to know, and his patients, he didn't end his training at Southwest High School. He went to the University of Minnesota. Then you went to Johns Hopkins for medical school out in Baltimore. What brought you out there?
That was my brother's idea.
Really?
Yeah. My brother was a doctor, and he had decided I should go somewhere else for medical school. It'd be a good experience.
Was it?
It was very good, yeah.
Yeah, so another thing listeners might not know is that Johns Hopkins is one of the premier medical schools in the country. This is not too shabby. After that, you did your internal medicine residency and your cardiac fellowship down in Rochester at Mayo, also not too shabby. And now you've really hit the pinnacle. You're with Hennepin. That's where you need to be.
Right, right.
Okay, so that's a little bit about Dr. Fine. And I'm going to mention just a couple of things about Heart Month. If you want to know more about what's going on at the hospital and just to kind of learn a little bit about February being Heart Month, you can go to hennepinhealthcare.org/heartmonth. I do want to highlight that one of our own, Natalie Eichmann, many of you have heard her before on the show. She's a physician assistant out at our Golden Valley Clinic. She's going to be out right here on WCCO tomorrow with Corey Heppel on his show around 10:30 tomorrow morning. So you're going to want to tune in to hear Natalie with Corey right here on WCCO 830 at 10:30 tomorrow morning. All right, back to the heart. It's still a big deal. When I say still, a lot of people know it's kind of heart disease. It's always been the majority cause of death, the majority of things that people have in their later years. What kind of things are the most common cardiac things that you see?
We see lots of patients who have coronary artery disease, which is where you get cholesterol plaque buildup inside the heart arteries, and that causes problems, causes damage to the heart, it causes people to get chest pain. We also see patients with heart valve problems, mm-hmm. where we have valves that help guide the flow of blood through the heart, and sometimes those valves get narrowed. It's almost like arthritis of the heart valves. They just open up more and more slowly as people get older, or they start leaking. They just don't work as well, going the opposite direction.
Is heart disease, we'll stick with coronary disease or valvular disease, are these inevitable? I mean, it seems like so many people have them, and you hear about so many people getting these conditions as they age.
Well, it's not necessarily inevitable to a degree where it's going to bother people, but it's very, very common. A lot of that has to do with our lifestyle. And a lot of it also now has to do with the fact people are living longer than they did before. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the warranty is wearing out on people more commonly than it was once upon a time.
So you say it's about lifestyle.
Lifestyle.
Are you going to tell us that we got to exercise?
Yeah. Oh. I think it's a good idea.
Oh, gee. All right.
If you want to improve your odds.
So do you do much in the way of preventive cardiology? Do you spend quite a bit of your time telling people what they could do?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always think that the better that we can do at having people take care of themselves, the less we have to do in terms of seeing them in the office and seeing them in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So is there what are the top like 2, 3, 4 things you tell people about staying healthy? Because I'm going to talk a lot about heart disease and cardiac rehab and the like. But before we get to that, what are the 2 or 3, 4 things that we could do to do our best to prevent heart problems?
Well, one is to exercise. The better, the more active people are, the more they improve their odds. I always tell people if they can exercise, the entry-level exercise is probably about 20 minutes 3 times a week, and people should be shooting for 150 minutes a week total if they can.
You know, that doesn't sound like that much, at least to start with.
Oh, it really isn't. When you think about that you've got 24 hours in every day, and you say, okay, maybe I spend 8 hours sleeping, maybe I spend 8 hours doing sedentary activity like sitting around, you know, working or whatever, and 8 hours doing kind of active things. And you think, gee, out of that 24 hours, how much of an impact is it or how difficult is it to get 30 minutes of at least moderate exercise level in a day?
Is vigorous walking good enough?
Vigorous walking is good, you know, especially if you do enough time. And the more vigorous that you do, the better off things are.
Okay, so exercise, that's the first thing you tell people.
Right.
What else?
Well, what do you put in your mouth?
Mm.
So one thing to avoid putting in your mouth is a cigarette, because that dramatically increases your risk of heart disease. And the other is in terms of your diet, what do you put in terms of food?
Mm-hmm. Our diet in this country is not always, well, I say in this country, maybe kind of in a good portion of the world, is maybe not the healthiest for our hearts.
Right.
Yeah. So diet, exercise, and don't smoke. Top 3 things, I'll bet that.
Right.
So tell me now about what cardiac rehab is.
Well, cardiac rehab, again, takes people who've got a diagnosis of heart disease already. So we're talking about what we call secondary prevention as opposed to primary prevention, which is just, you know, avoiding heart disease altogether. But it's taking people who've already had a diagnosis of heart disease. Oftentimes they've been in the hospital because of a heart problem. Either they have had a heart attack or they've got some heart failure. Or it's people that are referred from the outside in terms of just having symptoms of some kind, or people who have had blockages in their leg arteries or who have heart failure.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're talking with Dr. David Fine from the Division of Cardiology at Hennepin Healthcare. For February being Heart Month, we're going to take your calls and texts for as the show goes on.
Absolutely. A couple of ways to get in touch. It's the same number applies. Call in your question or send a text, 651-989-9226. And welcome back to Healthy Matters, talking about your heart today. 651-989-9226 is both the phone number and the text number. All right. Should we go back to the phones?
Let's go to the phone lines.
Mona's calling from Naperville, Illinois. Mona, you're on WCCO.
Greetings, Dr. Fine. This is Mona Modi calling from Naperville, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago where I now live. You will recall that 20 years ago when I lived in Golden Valley, you saved my life when you performed a really complex and difficult procedure on my heart. And I remain forever grateful for your skill and your sensitivity to me as a patient. And I will be 80 years old soon, and I now have 12 stents in my heart. And I often hear cardiologists talking about heart abrasion procedure, and I'd like to know what a heart abrasion procedure is and when it's necessary to be performed on a heart patient. Thank you so much.
Mona, let me just kind of, I want to chime in. First of all, thank you for calling, and thank you for your comments about Dr. Fine, a patient from 20 years ago calling from Chicago. That's got to feel good, David.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much for all the accolades, Mona. That's very nice to hear that you're still doing okay.
So we could do kind of, this is kind of like a follow-up visit, Mona. You know how doctors, you know, like to get you back in for a follow-up visit? So, you know, we'll just do it over the airwaves, and we'll have a few tens of thousands of your closest friends listening into your cardiology follow-up. No, really, thanks for calling in from Naperville. I used to have, I know some people down in that part of Illinois. So I'm glad to hear you're doing well at age 80. And thanks so much for calling in. Now, what about her question? She was talking about heart abrasions. Is that ablations?
I assume that you're talking about heart ablations, which usually deals with taking care of people's arrhythmia problems. We use ablations most commonly for people who have arrhythmias involving the upper chambers, which is either atrial fibrillation or supraventricular tachycardia. And we do these ablation procedures in order to try to get control of these types of heart rhythm problems without the use of medications. Some people need ablation procedures for ventricular arrhythmias, which are the more dangerous arrhythmias involving the lower chambers, but these are much less common.
So would she be having symptoms or something? How would she know if she needs that?
Most people who need ablation procedures have symptoms of palpitations where they feel like their heartbeat is fluttering. Some people have dizzy spells.
Yeah, and it sounds like Mona has some coronary disease as well because she talked about her stents. She's got a lot of stents. What does she mean by that? What is a stent?
A stent is like a little wire mesh that we can slide into a heart artery. The heart arteries get narrowed by cholesterol plaque development over a period of years. And some people get significant enough narrowings that we need to open up those arteries. We used to use just balloons. And then over time, we've evolved to putting in these stents because we found out when we put in a balloon where we inflated it and we expanded the blood vessel that they used to narrow afterwards pretty frequently, up to about 30% of patients were having trouble that way. And so they developed these little wire meshes that we could put on the balloon so that when we inflated the balloon, it would supply a scaffolding for the blood vessel, so it would be much less likely to re-narrow.
So that's what the stent is.
And that's what a stent is, yes.
Kind of like the size of a ballpoint pen spring, about like that size?
Yeah, they're about a tenth of an inch diameter on average.
People often ask me, you used to put a balloon in there? Well, it's not like a balloon at your child's birthday party. It's not like that. It's a little hot dog-shaped balloon that's dinky.
Exactly. It seems kind of barbaric when we think about what we did once upon a time. And the amazing thing is that it worked for most of the people that we did it on.
Yeah, it did work, didn't it? All right, let's go back to the phones. Thank you for your call, Mona.
All right, very good. Let's talk to Linda calling from Minneapolis. Linda, what is your question?
I have questions on atrial fibrillation. And how dangerous is it? I know a friend who takes warfarin all the time, and I had one episode, but I don't have to take that, and it went back to normal on its own. So, I mean, can you die from this? And what causes it besides dehydration and no sleep and
right.
et cetera.
Thank you for your call, Linda. Let's cover atrial fibrillation, David.
Okay. Atrial fibrillation is an arrhythmia that originates from the upper chamber of the heart, which is called the atrium. And first off, people don't die from atrial fibrillation. Atrial fibrillation does, however, put people at increased risk of getting strokes. And it's because of that increased risk of getting strokes that many people with atrial fibrillation end up being on blood-thinning medicines called warfarin, or there's a few others out there also. What the cause of atrial fibrillation is, in the majority of people, we don't really know what the cause is. It's part of the deterioration of your heart's electrical system such that it's not beating in an organized fashion anymore. And again, the main risk of atrial fibrillation for people is that risk of getting clots.
So there are, you mentioned there are others. Warfarin, I've said this a couple times in the show, and I can say this because we have a lot of listeners just to our east. The W, the A, and the R in warfarin stand for Wisconsin Alumni Research Foundation, because it was developed in Wisconsin as a toxin for rodents. You know, that people don't want to know. It was like rat poison. But it did a really good job of thinning blood, and it's a highly effective medicine that's been around a few years. You also mentioned there's a lot of other ones now. So you might be on any one of those to reduce the risk of having a stroke. Could you talk a little bit about, some people have asked about that device they put in. What's that all about?
Yeah, there's a device that we can put into the heart. The most common one that we talk about is called a Watchman, where basically, because we know that the clots inside the heart in patients with atrial fibrillation usually form in what's called the atrial appendage, which is a little area just off of the atrium, that we know that if we can occlude that area and make it so it's not accessible to blood, there's less likely of forming blood clots inside the heart. So it's a procedure that we're doing more commonly now in order to exclude that area from the heart. And whether someone is a candidate for that depends a lot on what else is going on with that patient, because whenever you go through a procedure, there's always risk of procedures too.
Yeah, nothing comes for free. There's always a risk and a benefit to everything we do, isn't there?
Right.
I'm talking to Dr. David Fine, a cardiologist at Hennepin Healthcare. I'm going to give the phone number for our scheduling department in case you are looking for a cardiologist, particularly if you're in either in and around the downtown area or in the western suburbs, because he practices both at our Spiffy Clinic and Specialty Center in downtown Minneapolis, but also the clinic in Golden Valley. Hennepin Healthcare has a beautiful clinic in just off Highway 100 in Duluth Street, with convenient, easy parking and all that. The number for the scheduling number is 612-873-MYMD. That the numbers are 612-873-6963, 612-873-6963, to get a hold of Dr. Fine's office or any of the other terrific cardiologists. Can we do a few text messages, David?
Sure.
All right, let's do a couple of these. Here's one that says, what is a silent heart attack? What causes it? Treatment for it? Will I have another more serious one? I'm female, age 72.
A silent heart attack is basically a heart attack that occurs without any symptoms. The majority of people with heart attacks actually have what you hear about, like in movies and on television, the person who has the severe chest pain. But there are some people who have no symptoms at all, and people can have everything in between. Some people have very mild symptoms and just don't even think about it being related to the heart. The problem with silent heart attacks, like real symptomatic heart attacks, is that the patients are at risk for getting further heart attacks. And so when people have silent heart attacks, oftentimes we're doing a risk assessment as far as what is the possibility they're going to have another one, oftentimes with stress testing and such, in order to determine what the risk is going forward, as well as assessments like echocardiograms to assess how much damage has occurred to the heart.
So for this person, they're saying, will I have another one? Well, you can't say. But there is a risk.
Exactly. And that's why it's important for the person to get checked out.
Let's go to the text line for another one. This one says, I know your blood pressure changes all day, but does that affect your pulse too? What's a normal pulse rate, and is it affected by blood pressure meds like Valsartan or Carvedilol?
Okay. Blood pressures do change over the course of the day. Anyone who's been in the hospital where they measure your blood pressure over and over and over again will notice that every time they come in and check it, it's going to be a little bit different. Likewise, the pulse rates change over the course of a day. There are medications that affect both the blood pressure and the heart rate that people are on. Some medicines affect just blood pressure. Some affect just heart rates. The main ones that we think about that affect both are what we call beta blockers, where they will bring the blood pressure down and they'll bring the heart rate down. I think one of the medications that was just mentioned was carvedilol.
Yeah, this texter is on
which
that.
Which is a medication that does both. The other medication that was mentioned was valsartan, which only affects blood pressure, does not affect heart rate.
All right. Do we have time for one more
sure.
text line here? Oh, one thing about – but before I get off the pulse question. In med school, they teach a normal heart rate is 60 to 100. Do you buy that? 100's pretty high.
It is pretty high.
Lower is better is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's an issue as to what you consider normal. I think it's just one of those definitions that occurred at one point in time that they decided to classify things as such. So when people have pulse rates of greater than 100, you fit into a category that's called tachycardia. Normal pulse rates actually for people at rest are between 50 and 80 beats a minute.
Yeah, I still remember that. Say, well, normal 60 to 100. Well, it's common, and maybe that's what most people have, but I think you'd rather be 60 than 99.
Exactly.
All right. Back to one more text line. This one's a little different topic. It's about coenzyme Q10. At least I think that's what that means. It says this. I'm sorry. I've already lost that one. All right. Oh, here it is. I'm sorry, listeners. Any evidence showing that liquid coenzyme Q10 is advantageous for the heart? Maybe you could tell us, first of all, what is this stuff?
Yeah, CoQ10 is a coenzyme that's involved in metabolism. There is some theoretical issues that makes it so that people think that coenzyme Q10, if you have a deficiency and you're taking that medication, that maybe that will be helpful. So far, there isn't any studies that have really demonstrated that it's of any benefit to anyone in terms of improving longevity or decreasing your chances of a heart attack or anything like that. So amongst medical professionals now, the main use of coenzyme Q10 is for people who are on statin medications, that a certain percentage of patients who get muscle aching from their statin medications will have a symptomatic improvement from the coenzyme Q10. But that's about the only real benefit that we can see of it right now.
They actually get symptomatically better.
They get symptomatically better, right.
Yeah, this is one of those things that, you know, kind of you hear about every now and then, and it kind of becomes a little more popular for a while, but we have to stick to the scientific evidence, and right now that's pretty lacking.
Exactly.
Okay.
Tell you what, let's do. I know we're due for a break, and then alerting our listeners on the phone. Stay there. When we come back after the break, we'll pick up on your phone calls. And more text messages as well. Same number applies if you want to call in or send a text, 651-989-9226. And we're back to Healthy Matters. We're talking about your heart today. We have callers. We have texters, 651-989-9226. Before we go back, I know you have a little
bit. Let me say just a couple of things, and we're going to get back to talking to Dr. David Fine, cardiologist at Hennepin Healthcare, about your heart. First of all, I just want to give a little shout out. We've had, you know, every now and then we come in contact with some of our listeners. Well, Dick and Nancy, if you're listening from Lino Lakes, a shout out to you. Thank you for being loyal and faithful Healthy Matters listeners. We do appreciate it. That's to Dick and Nancy from Lino Lakes. Second, it is Heart Month, and if you want to learn more about cardiology resources from Hennepin, you can go to our website. That is hennepinhealthcare.org/HeartMonth, hennepinhealthcare.org/HeartMonth. And then I wanted to say just a few seconds about something that's in the news a lot, that being the novel coronavirus. Our hospital, like all hospitals that I know of, but we're particularly strong in this, have been talking about it once or twice a week. We're prepared for it. The coronavirus is, you know, what people don't know is that we've known about coronavirus for 50 years. It causes the common cold. The SARS virus from a few years ago, the MERS, Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome, the SARS, Southeast Asia Respiratory Syndrome, those were all coronaviruses. But this one is different. It seems to be quite contagious and quite virulent, means it causes some severe illness. And so coronavirus is a family of viruses. What it's good thing to know, what is really good to know, is that we are exceptionally well prepared here for any types of outbreaks. Our hospital was ready for Ebola. We were ready for those other ones, and we meet and talk about it. We have Dr. John Hick at Hennepin, who literally advises the federal government about this kind of stuff. So we're ready to go. So in the meantime, cover your cough, wash your hands frequently, stay home from work or school if you have a fever or a cough. What I do like to tell people whenever I talk about coronavirus the last couple of weeks is what the virus that I would be more concerned about right now is flu. You're far more likely to get flu than you are coronavirus. So just a little tip about that, and just to know we're on it. We're on the coronavirus.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones. Pete is calling from Robbinsdale. Pete, you're on WCCO.
Yes, good morning. I had bypass surgery about 22 years ago, and I had a cardiologist that advised me to stay away from red meat and stay away from eggs, stay away from cheese. I remember shrimp, all kinds of things, keep your weight low. Well, as time progressed, I kind of fell off the wagon, and I started eating the very things that he said I shouldn't. And about 6 years ago, I started having some problems, and I had three more stents. Now friends and family are saying, well, you should start eating eggs. They say they're good for you, and pork is no problem. I was just wondering, is there some kind of resource that those of us who have had heart problems can go to see what is good and what's bad, or, you know, because things seem to be changing?
I'll let Dr. Fine respond to that, but you're right. You know, we're always telling people something different. We told Pete something different over the years. What's the latest, Dr. Fine?
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right. I think a lot of the guidelines that we use for people keep changing over time. And I think, you know, as medical research progresses, we get a little bit smarter about what you should do and what you shouldn't do. And part of the problem these days is that there's a massive amount of information out there available for people. And most of it is misinformation, unfortunately, because if you're going out like on the internet or talking to your friends, basically there's no filter. And I think that the best thing to do for advice regarding diet and to see what is the latest that people should be doing is probably to go through a reputable website. You know, the one I like to refer people to most commonly is going to be the American Heart Association website.
Yeah, that's easy. That's heart.org.
Right.
That's legit.
Yeah.
I agree with that comment. Go to, you know, 95% of what you get on there is none of it's regulated.
Right.
But is suspect, let's put it that way. Go to something associated with a major university, or heart.org. I think that's really good advice. What are you telling people about eating eggs?
I think that eggs aren't as bad as they told you once upon a time. Mm-hmm. I think the key thing is not to go overboard and eat tons of eggs. It's not good for you because there is a fair amount of fat and calories in eggs. But I think that we don't have to go into the complete avoidance that we told people once upon a time.
651-989-9226. Back to the phones. Vincent's calling from St. Paul. Vincent, you're on CCO.
Yes, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. I'm a primary care provider at the VA hospital, and they had blood works, you know, blood tests, you know, I got last month. And I've had these in the past, and it seems like the hemoglobin, the HGB, and the HCT always is low.
Your hemoglobin, and the HCT is hematocrit, yeah.
It's what?
Yeah, that stands for hematocrit. So, okay.
So, well, it's been low, you know, for the last few years, but I never hear anything. How are you supposed to get your HGB and HCT, the hemoglobin, better, you know, food or whatever, and you know, what I can do myself without nobody telling me.
Right. Thanks for your call, Vincent. What do you tell people about low hemoglobin and hematocrit?
A lot of it depends really on how low it is, and there are many causes for low hemoglobin and hematocrit. And I think the best thing to do is actually to speak with your doctor and ask him why my hemoglobin is low, and is there anything specific I can do in order to make that better, whether it needs further testing or just some nutritional supplementation.
651-989-9226. Back to the phones we go. Kenneth is calling from Corcoran. Kenneth, you're on CCO.
Good morning.
Morning.
Doctor, fine?
Yes.
This is Kenny Kluck. Yeah, you were my first cardiologist back in 92.
Okay. Nice to hear from you.
Pardon?
Nice to hear from you.
Yes. I've always thought of you. I thank you for your services. I'm doing good. It's been 28 years now. It'll be 28 years in April. I really appreciate you, and I always think of you, and I really would like to go see you again.
You should do that, Kenneth. Where do you live, Kenneth?
Corcoran.
Oh, you're on Corcoran. You should come down. You could visit it.
Exactly. You're always welcome to come back and see me.
How about that?
That was 28 years ago. When did you start practicing? Now we're going to tell you don't have to age yourself too much.
I came to Minneapolis in 1989.
1989.
Yeah, so Mr. Kluck was one of my early patients, obviously.
He was. Kenneth, thank you for your call. So that's a couple of follow-up visits you've been able to do on the phone. Listeners, you might be sensing a theme, and I have to tell people, none of these callers are plants.
Unsolicited.
These are all unsolicited. We've had a couple of grateful listeners who have seen Dr. Fine. You too can see Dr. Fine. That's an easy one. Go to hennepinhealthcare.org and look up Find a Doctor and look under cardiology. There you'll see his smiling mug. Or you can always go just call us up at 612-873-6963.
Let's grab another call before we take a break. Then we'll look at some text messages. Jim and Isanti is calling in. Jim, what's your question?
Yeah, well, I was diagnosed with a high pressure valve, and my doctor prescribed low dose aspirin one a day, and I kind of didn't like that. I know any medication isn't good, really, unless they really need it. But so I take one every other day, and I when I'm at the drugstore for different reasons, I always stick my arm in the heart monitoring machine, and the last time I was there, it's usually all good to go, you know, normal, everything normal. So would you diagnose anything different from that?
It's hard to know. I'm not sure what the high pressure valve, I assume it must be that you had high blood pressure. And if the blood pressure was elevated, sometimes we will see blood pressures are elevated at the doctor's office. And then when you go and actually check it outside the doctor's office, it's normal. And I think when that's the case, it's probably a good idea to let your doctor know that that's what's going on. Whether to take aspirin or not, if you don't have heart disease, most people don't have to take aspirin. And so everybody's, again, a little bit different, and I would refer you to your doctor as far as whether aspirin is really something that you need to take.
Is that a little different?
And that's been changing also. Yeah. You know, it used to be once upon a time they said that every adult should take aspirin. And over time we've learned that not everybody needs aspirin, and people who specifically never had any heart disease – documented, most of them don't need aspirin anymore. The risk of aspirin in terms of bleeding, et cetera, is actually higher than the benefit that people are getting from it.
Hmm. All right. Let's go to a couple of tech. Do I have time for some text?
You can grab one.
Okay, let's grab a text message that says, good morning. I'm a 65-year-old man taking atorvastatin along with amlodipine. How safe is it to drink alcohol? Dr. Fine's looking at me.
I guess alcohol is one of those things that can be not safe in excessive quantities. I say that in the vast majority of people, taking one or two drinks in a day probably isn't a big deal. But I think one of the main things with alcohol is avoiding excessive alcohol. In terms of atorvastatin and amlodipine, they don't really significantly they aren't influenced by alcohol at all. So I wouldn't let that affect your decision-making.
All right, I tell you what, we need to take a break, but we have more show to come. We're talking about your heart. You can call it in, your question, or send a text, 651-989-9226. Welcome back to Healthy Matters. We're talking about your heart today. 651-989-9226 is the phone number and also the text number. Dr. Hilden?
Thank you, Danny. David, let's talk briefly about cardiac rehab. So could you describe what the programs are like, and specifically, is it all a place you go to, or do they come to you, or how does it work?
Well, again, we take patients for cardiac rehab. The vast majority of the people that get enrolled in the process are people who have been hospitalized with some type of a problem. Either they have a heart attack, or they have a stent put in, or they have some heart surgery, and they get referred into the cardiac rehab program, and then we take them from there and get them back to a normal lifestyle as best that we can. And a lot of this is through a supervised exercise program where we gradually ramp up people's exercise levels as is appropriate. We don't allow them to be couch potatoes, but we don't let them be too excessively active right away. We also do a lot of education of patients in terms of their risk factors, helping them to manage their blood pressure, their diet, their exercise routine otherwise, and also how to watch for symptoms, what symptoms are dangerous, what ones aren't. And it is a really good way for us to also keep an eye on patients if there's a problem that's occurring that they wouldn't otherwise tell their physician for. So the people at the cardiac rehab program are kind of always attuned to different things that they may want to let their doctors know that, you know, something is going on. So for me as a physician, it's really helpful because it's like an extra set of eyes and ears.
Is it covered by insurance?
It's covered by insurance generally. Medicare covers about 80%, and then the addition is whether you have a supplemental and that type of thing. Sometimes there's a copay involved.
So anyone listening who maybe had a heart attack, heart failure?
Right, heart failure.
Heart failure as well. If you were recently had a bout with either of those two things, you should be asking about it, it sounds like.
Exactly. It's helpful to ask. There's a lot of patients who don't get cardiac rehab for whatever reasons. A lot of them it's geographic issues and that. And we're actually involved right now at Hennepin in a pilot program through the Minnesota Department of Health doing a home-based cardiac rehab, which is a really exciting area because there are so many patients who don't actually get to a cardiac rehab program for multiple reasons.
Getting in is hard, and here they're going to come to you.
Exactly.
So, again, any information about our heart program, you can call us at 612-873-6963. Should we go back to the phone lines?
Yes, we have so many callers and texters. I know we won't be able to get to you all. We apologize for that. But Amy is calling from Oakdale first up here. Amy, you're on CCO.
Hi. I have a question about rapid resting heart rate around 100, sometimes late at night or after eating. It's like a swooshing, tingling sensation. And I did have a stress test. They said it was probably false positive on the stress test because I had excellent, you know, exercise tolerance. We're just wondering about that. Is there a problem I should worry about?
I'm glad that you got the stress test, because that also is screening for any real serious problems that you might have that might be causing this. The rapid resting heart rate of 100, again, it's not a dangerous heart rate range, which is one of the nice things. Some people will have irregularities of their heart rhythm. It may be an atrial fibrillation episode or something like that, and a heart monitor is oftentimes used to assess that, where we have you hooked up to an EKG for 24 hours to see exactly what's going on with your heart at the time when you're having your symptoms.
All right. Here's a text message that with a little WCCO connection. This says, my sister and WCCO personality, Patty Peterson.
Absolutely.
You know Patty.
I certainly do.
Oh, Patty Peterson. She had had aortic dissection 13 years ago. She's quite alive and doing great. Please talk a little bit about what that is, as it can be misdiagnosed as a heart attack. So what the heck is aortic dissection? I'm glad to hear about Patty Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that she's doing well 13 years out. Aortic dissection is where there's actually a tear in the lining of the aorta. The aorta is the blood vessel that takes blood out of the heart and distributes it to the rest of the body. And it can be a life-threatening type of problem, and it can cause chest pain that's not associated with changes on your electrocardiogram. It's very different from others, and it's very important to get diagnosed early, because in some people it can be a devastating, life-threatening problem.
So chest pain,
usually,
ripping pain, what's
exactly,
it feel
usually,
like?
The way patients describe it most of the time is a pain that feels like something is tearing on the inside.
As I recall, and we're glad that that Patty's doing so well, great singer, great musical family. I think she even drove herself to the ER.
Oh, really? When she had this
I
incident?
So, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, driving yourself to the ER when you have chest pain is always a bad
idea. Not a good
don't
idea.
Do that. But I'm so glad you're doing well 13 years yeah. out.
Sorry. Back to the phones before we leave you today. John is calling from Bloomington. John, what's your question?
Yes, could you explain what something called edema is? Is that related to the heart? And will significant weight loss reduce a lot of these heart symptoms?
Thanks for your call, John.
Okay, edema usually refers to swelling, unusual swelling involving the legs in the body. It can be caused by a number of different things. One of them is the heart, and so in people who have edema, when it was not present before, they should certainly consult their physician to find out what is going on and what's causing that problem. Some people being overweight can cause edema, and losing weight can improve this.
All right, let's grab a call from Tom, who's calling from Hamel, I believe. Tom, you're on CCO.
Hey, doctor, real quick, very good health, 73 years old, blood pressure 127 over 78, everything seems to be normal. All of a sudden, you develop a heart murmur, okay? So you sit there with the heart murmur, and the suggestion is, hey, go for an echocardiogram. First, explain heart murmur and the echocardiogram. When you sit there, can you get a copy that goes on a thumb drive that shows the ultrasound thing, so maybe you could go for a second opinion to find out what's really going on before you go into prescription drugs and everything else as to how this thing developed? Thanks, and I'll listen.
Okay, first off, heart murmur is an abnormal sound of the heart. If you think about what the heart sounds, again, if you've watched TV or movies, they always say lub-dub, 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 and usually a heart murmur is lub-swish-dub, lub-swish-dub. And so it's an abnormal sound that the doctor will hear when he's listening to your heart. It can be caused by many different things. Most of the important things that are causing heart murmurs are going to be noticeable on an ultrasound test of the heart called an echocardiogram. So it's a very frequent test that's used to evaluate this. Can you get a copy of your echocardiogram? Yes, you can get it copied onto a thumb drive or a DVD or whatever if you want to take it to somebody else to have somebody else look at it. But most of the time, it will be diagnosed appropriately the first time around.
All right, let's go to Catherine, who's calling from Blaine, I believe. Catherine, you're on CCO.
Good morning, Denny, and thanks for taking my call. I have a question about bicuspid aorta. Is that something that is my son had it a couple of years ago, and he had to have surgery for it. And I was told that I was a carrier. So I'm just wondering how hereditary that is. Is that something that is, you know, that my grandchildren are going to be, you know, inheriting?
Yeah, a bicuspid aortic valve is actually one of the most common what we call congenital heart diseases, because it is something that people are born with. And it accounts for a substantial percentage of the patients who get aortic valves that are replaced, I always say, before they're eligible for Medicare. You know, after that, it's more wear and tear type of problems. But if you hear about somebody who gets a heart valve replaced early, oftentimes it is because of a bicuspid aortic valve. And many of these are hereditary. So if there's someone in the family who has it, it's probably a good idea to get other relatives, first-degree relatives that are going to be screened for the same process.
All right. Thank you for that. We're running out of time. I'm going to alert listeners to this. I have more than I can count text messages, we won't get to be able to get to those. But I'm going to save them, and I'll do my best to answer a few of them next week that I can do. Or maybe I'll hit up Dr. Fine, ask him to answer them, and we can talk about a few of them next week. Maybe we have time for like one of them here. There was another question about aortic valves, but you just answered that one. So let's do this one. I've had heart palpitations for my lifetime. I found taking vitamin D stopped my palpitations. Why? I tested by stopping for a month, and they came back. That was 2 years ago. Any connection between vitamin D?
Nothing that I'm aware of, but it's really good that it works. So I would keep using it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not aware of anything, any connection with – we used to tell people to take vitamin D more than we do now.
Right.
It's probably not going to hurt you, but I've never heard that as well.
We have about 60 seconds to go, and I know we started off the show talking about American Heart Month.
It is American Heart Month this February. You can go to hennepinhealthcare.org/heartmonth to learn more about what's going on at the hospital and some fun things that we're doing. Tomorrow morning, right here on WCCO, Natalie Eichmann from our Golden Valley Clinic is going to be talking about some excellent workout routines with Corey Heppala. So she's a energetic person herself who knows all about diet and exercise. So you're going to want to tune into Corey's show tomorrow morning around 10:30. In the meantime, go to hennepinhealthcare.org/heartmonth to see about other events that are
coming
up.
And if you need a doc,
call any one of us up, including Dr. David Fine, at 612 873-6963, or I really encourage you to go to hennepinhealthcare.org.
It's going to be open lines next week here on Healthy Matters on News Talk 830 WCCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.